on Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA. It's The Buzz with Dr. Z. Supported by the Lung Disease Foundation of Central Pennsylvania. Dr. Z is Dr. George Lupko, founder and director of the foundation. Now, here's WRTA's Doug Herentine and Dr. George Lupko.
Spring allegedly, eh? Starting soon.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's this is why I haven't gotten the snow brush put in the trunk of my car from the back seat of the car. It's going to stay there for a while.
Well, Doug, everything was all iced over this morning for me. So I tried to go to the gym. You know, I'm trying to stay healthy, and I couldn't get into the car.
Well, see, that was the thing. That was the workout, trying to get into the car.
It really was. It really was.
I was going to go on a trip one time. It was several Decembers ago, and it was really, really cold. And the door was frozen shut, so I had to wait for a day because I was not about to break off the door handle and start a trip that way. But other things that we can talk about today. This is, believe it or not, The Buzz with Dr. Z, Dr. George Lupko, as we said. And today, if you heard the little promotional announcements, we're going to talk about something that sounds kind of trivial, unless you have to deal with it and you can't get rid of it. You know, like people would say a cough or a sneeze or a cold or something else or a certain pain. Wheezing.
Yeah, wheezing. It's a common symptom, I think. A lot of folks complain of it or at least notice it. And in my world, everybody comes into the office wheezing and they think it's all due to their lungs. But I'm going to talk to you today about a lot of things that have nothing to do with your lungs that can cause wheezing. But before we do that, Doug,
yeah,
I thought I'd take you back in time. Woo, you know, back in time.
Yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yes, like it was yesterday.
You hear the harp list and everything else.
And perhaps when you were in high school, did you have physics when you were in high school? Do you remember having physics?
I managed to get out of physics by taking advanced earth science for a year.
Okay. And you didn't take any, you didn't study beyond high school or did you go to college? And then,
yeah, I went to college. I managed to avoid that as well.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, for those of us who didn't
spend... You want to learn physics, drive on I-99 on a day like this.
For those of us who didn't spend all our time in college at some booze fest, like some people I know, there's a course called physics. And I thought I'd just take a minute and really blow your mind about why you can hear wheezing. What's the mechanism? I mean, it's a sound.
Yeah.
Right? And why do you hear it? And let me explain it to you, Lucy.
All right.
Okay. First of all, we have to think about what's going on here. Air is flowing through a tube. Okay, your bronchial tubes, right?
Right.
Through tubes.
And normally you don't hear that.
And
not that much.
Normally don't hear that. The flow there is what we call laminar flow. It means that the molecules are all in the same kind of layers and just flowing through nicely. As you narrow that tube, okay, that flow of air becomes disturbed. It becomes turbulent, okay? And when that turbulence occurs, it creates a certain amount of resistance through that tube.
I'm trying to think of this in the terms of the tubing I have on the fish tank at home.
Yeah, same
because
thing.
Because if it gets stuck, you're going to hear it more if it gets bent or coiled or something like that.
Exactly. Okay. So it's this resistance through that tube that is creating this disturbance in the flow. All right.
Okay.
Just to give you an example, those of you taking notes at home don't have to worry about this. There's no test later. But the resistance to flow through an air tube, through a tube, mm-hmm. okay, is inversely proportional to the fourth power of the radius, okay?
Now I'm really glad I got out of physics.
There you go. What that really means, and I did that just to impress you, what that really means is that the tiniest change in the diameter of that tube, the radius, by construction, the diameter as well.
Yeah.
Creates a tremendous amount of resistance to flow. Okay, so if you have an air tube, like your bronchial tubes, and you constrict those tubes just a little bit, it creates a tremendous resistance to flow, and that resistance creates the turbulence. Now, hold on to your hats, kids. Hold your wigs and keys. When that turbulence exceeds something called Reynolds number, okay? When it exceeds Reynolds number, okay, there's a vibration that's set up. And when that vibration gets to the point where you can hear it with the human ear, it's a wheeze.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's really some science to this. It's not just something that somebody says, oh, you got some wheezing. There's actually something going on here that can be measured, that has been measured, and that the physics of it is known.
I didn't realize it would be the exact frequency that would make it rattle where you can start to hear it. But think about it, if it's like an HVAC system or something, where something's loose or constricted or something like that, you normally don't hear anything going through except the air, but you'll hear the tubes or the ducts or something, or the softer parts of the HVAC.
This what I'm telling you applies to any tube.
Okay.
Any tube.
So this is why you'd hear it, because it hits a vibration where you can actually pick it up.
That's exactly it.
Is it much worse for the person that has it than the person who's next to them? Because I would imagine you're feeling the vibration to an extent, even if you don't see, I wouldn't have recognized it as a vibration, but I would imagine that can get to be hugely distracting.
Well, yeah, I think it, probably if you're having it, you notice it more than someone on the outside. But that's the physics of this thing. And I thought I'd bring it to your attention, because the important part of that is it doesn't take much constriction of the tube, the airway in this case, to create this kind of a sound.
Well, except for the esophagus, but I guess it included, compared to everything else, it's not a very big tube, and certainly the rest of the bronchial.
Yeah, well, don't forget the esophagus.
Not,
we don't want to get off into the weeds here, but the esophagus is not an open tube. It is
right.
A fleshy tube that is sealed, closed, okay?
Yeah.
Whereas your bronchial airways, because there's cartilage around them, they stay open.
Okay.
There's muscle around them. There's some cartilage. And if they constrict, okay, particularly the smaller airways, when they constrict, then the flow of air through them becomes very turbulent, and then eventually we hear it.
I would imagine if some of the smaller ones are constricted and it makes the others work a little bit harder, that's going to cause a problem with that too, wouldn't it?
Well, you're talking about some tubes being constricted and some that aren't. That's a totally different circumstance. What we're going to talk about today,
all right,
and we're going to talk about the conditions, actually, that can cause wheezing. Because if you're a person out there who has wheezing, you notice it at night, you're laying there, you hear the wheezing, you may have more than just a lung problem. You may have some other type of problem, and I'm going to discuss those here today. And we're going to talk about problems that come actually not from inside the chest, but outside the actual chest itself in the upper airways, okay? Some things that happen in the large airways that are inside the chest, and some things that happen exclusively in the lungs inside the chest. So there are three areas here that we're going to discuss, and I'll give you a list of some things that can do that. And of course, like all things in medicine, having an accurate diagnosis is really important.
According to AI, and heaven knows we can trust AI, yeah. Catch the sarcasm, please. But they can summarize some things. Wheezing is a high-pitched whistling or rattling sound caused by the narrowed or inflamed airways, often indicating breathing issues. Common causes include asthma, COPD, bronchitis, infections, and allergies. Symptoms include a noisy exhale, chest tightness, shortness of breath. Treatments involve bronchodilators, steroids, and avoiding triggers. We're talking with Dr. George Lupko, The Buzz with Dr. Z, about wheezing, and that's just a thumbnail sketch of what it is. Where do you want to go next with this?
Well, first of all, I wanted to make sure that we understood the difference between something called wheezing, which is what we're talking about, and something called stridor, because they're very similar, but
okay,
they—
I've not heard stridor as far as I know.
There you go. I've kept that from you, Doug. I didn't want you looking at AI on anything about stridor. So wheezing and stridor. Wheezing is, as you describe it, that high-pitched kind of prolonged sound when you're exhaling generally,
yeah.
Okay? Whereas stridor is a much harsher, we call monophasic sound, that occurs, actually, it's worse when you put some pressure on it, and you can hear it mostly in the anterior part of the neck, and it usually reflects a major obstruction to the upper airway. Okay. The presence of stridor is an emergent circumstance and needs to be handled that way. For example, well, let's say you're fond of little potatoes, and for some reason you've decided to try and put a whole one in your mouth and swallow it, and for some reason you didn't swallow it quite well and it gets stuck in the upper airway.
That would be an emergency to me, yeah.
Well, it certainly would be, a culinary emergency as well as others. And you would need help right away, you see.
I'm just glad that new potatoes were not as popular when I was in college, because I know some people that would probably not be with us to this date. But
well,
that's
the Heimlich maneuver would be something you'd want to think about if you had stridor. So there is another sound that's very similar to wheezing. It's called stridor. But to those of us who understand these things and who deal with them all the time, it's really different. And the patients usually act differently. They're usually grabbing their neck and, you know, pointing to the fact that they can't breathe from the upper airway. Now, the cause of wheezing are generally categorized by the location where they occur. And that's what I thought we'd talk about today a little bit, so that we get the full flavor of this symptom called wheezing. Because when someone comes in with wheezing, they think, well, I've got asthma, I've got COPD or something like that. But there may be some other causes.
Can be, but not always.
But they occur often enough that you at least have to be aware of them. At least the physician has to be aware of them. So let's talk about the ones that occur in the upper part of the airway. That would be kind of in the back of your throat, so to speak. And that's really outside the chest cavity. That's outside the chest. Your inside the chest cavity is usually below the clavicles, if you will, the bones here on your neck. So the first thing that can cause wheezing is something very simple, and that's postnasal drip. Postnasal drip. And it's a whistling little sound that occurs actually kind of in the back of the pharynx, the area behind your nose.
It sounds bad, and it's not serious, but it's an annoyance.
Yeah, it's an annoyance.
To beat the band, trust me.
And if you might have it, for example, at night when you lay down, and you're breathing, and you get that little wheeze sound, and you hear it, and you don't know what to do, and you clear your throat, and you cough, and you blow your nose and whatnot. So postnasal drip, a very common condition, can cause wheezing. And it doesn't respond, of course, to the kinds of things that we would treat asthma with or COPD with. And that's important to know that, because some patients will get those treatments and they get no relief. Well, the reason is because you don't have the disease for which those treatments are for. Okay. So that's one. The other area that can be involved are your vocal cords. Okay. And they can be involved in a variety of ways. You know, there are two little cartilage points that hold the ends of your vocal cords. These are called the retinoid cartilages. And they move back and forth as your vocal cords open and close as you talk or breathe. Well, for some patients, particularly patients with rheumatoid arthritis, you can get an arthritis in those little cartilage joints. And they either don't move or they get stuck in a position that's closed or nearly closed. And the result is that narrowing of the air tube, the turbulent airflow, and the wheezing, okay? So that has nothing to do with your lungs. It, again, can be associated with a variety of disorders of the vocal cords, but patients with rheumatoid arthritis don't, well, infrequently have it, but frequently enough that you got to be aware of it, okay? Here's another thing that can cause wheezing that has nothing to do with your lungs. It is something called anaphylaxis. Do you know what anaphylaxis is? This is a sudden discharge of chemicals from your body in response to some event. Okay, could be
a bee sting.
Bee sting, could be some allergic reaction to something that you got injected with or you ate. And when that happens, there's a tremendous amount of edema that occurs. It occurs, these patients with this, their tongue would swell, their lips swell, their back of their airway swells, et cetera, and they can get some wheezing. Once again, this is an emergency if this is happening to you and you need some treatment right away. The usual treatment is some injection of epinephrine. But the point is that you really need to have some attention some attention right away. Okay, so anaphylaxis, a generalized condition that has nothing whatsoever to do specifically with your lungs. Now, for those of you out there who eat too many pizzas, okay, and I know there's some of you out there, okay, obesity is one condition that can result in wheezing. Why is that? Well, it's more or less the same reason that you get sleep apnea if you're overweight, okay? The back of your throat collapses. It's the back of your throat has a lot of fatty deposition there, okay? And it closes off the back portion of your airway. And so when you sleep, there's enough restriction of airflow that can create wheezing. And you sit up, you wake up,
yeah.
You sit up, you change position, and it goes away.
I hadn't realized that was the mechanism for that.
Yeah, huh. That's exactly it. And in the same context, of course, in the same context would be if you have some type of tumor problem in the back of your throat, so a malignancy of some sort. And again, it would be wheezing. You may not have any other symptom other than the wheezing initially, but that would be creating some of that sound if you have some obstruction in that area.
That could be any of the things that we discussed, including self-inflicted with something you've tried to swallow or just the situations, as you said, with a chemical reaction.
Yeah. And when we talked about the vocal cords, I forgot to mention the fact that the vocal cords can become paralyzed. Like we talked about, I was mentioning the fact that these little retinoid cartilages can get arthritic and not move and narrow the airway. But you can get a paralysis of your vocal cords. And why would that happen? Well, it can happen because of a stroke, okay? Damage to the nerves that innervate your vocal cords, okay? How does that happen? Well, those nerves are in your neck, okay? Now, they come from the brain, but they come from the neck. They're in the neck, and if they're damaged in some way, let's say automobile accident,
mm-hmm.
okay, or some other type of trauma, you fall off your motorcycle or something and hit something on the side of your neck, that can result in paralysis of your vocal cords, and you'd get this wheezing.
This may sound a little self-serving, but what about people who use their voice to make a living? I'm not necessarily thinking of people on the radio, but people who are singers.
Oh, absolutely.
Public speakers.
Yeah, absolutely, because we know, and every once in a while you'll see one of these famous singers, they'll take a break because they found out that they have vocal cord nodules.
Yeah.
You know, so singing and causes a lot of vibration in the vocal cords. That's how we hear some of our sound, right? And that chronic vibration creates irritation, and that irritation can result in these little nodules that develop on the vocal cords. And when that happens, then the vocal cords can't close totally. And when they can't close totally, it leaves a small opening there. And then the air going through that small opening creates a wheeze.
So it's one more problem on top of another.
Yeah.
If you have that.
Yep. So those are examples of wheezing that can occur outside the chest cavity in the upper part of the airway.
So far, we've done mainly the things that are not in the chest cavity.
Right.
I get the feeling that there's many more that are, or there's...
Well, they're coming. They're coming. So stay tuned.
All right.
Okay. There are some that occur in the upper part of the airway that's actually inside the chest. Okay.
Okay, right under your throat.
Right under your throat, right below, just below your clavicles, okay? And these causes usually involve the main airway that we're talking about, which is your trachea, okay? And things can happen in the trachea. For example, the trachea can get narrowed. They call it tracheal stenosis. Stenosis meaning is the term that we use to say that it's narrowed. And how does that happen? Well, sometimes it's by itself due to disease. Sometimes we actually cause it by treating the patient. For example, many times patients who have problems with their breathing end up on ventilator support. Okay, they have a tube placed down into their trachea. That tube has a balloon on it that is inflated to seal it so that we can blow air in and out of the lungs without it leaking out through the trachea itself. Hmm. Well, back in the old days, and I have to say I'm from the old days, that balloon was made out of a very hard rubber substance. And it really distorted the airway a great good deal. So much that it put pressure on it. Sometimes it actually created holes in the airway, holes in the trachea, perforated the trachea.
Yes.
But sometimes, if it was in for a while and then removed, that damage that it did to the tracheal surface, the inside of the tracheal tube, scarred down and narrowed the trachea. The other way that this happens in a similar circumstance is if a patient had to be on ventilator support and a tracheostomy tube had to be put in place. In other words, we had to put a hole in their windpipe for a smaller tube to go in there to ventilate them. When we take that out, that hole has to close and the trachea has to close. And when it does, sometimes it actually creates a narrowing of the trachea, which will result in a wheezing. And you can hear that. And of course, when you examine the patient, you can put a stethoscope over that area and hear it directly there.
Anytime you're going to do something like that, the need for doing it is going to be greater than the possible side effects in a case like this. In other words, yes, you can have these problems, but if we don't, you're going to have bigger problems.
Well, patients who need tracheostomies require them for a variety of reasons, and I don't want to get all into that, but it usually is because they need to have that ventilator support or that type of opening there for other reasons, okay? So, but the consequence of that could be the result of a stenosis, a narrowing of that air tube in that spot down the line.
It's The Buzz with Dr. Z, Dr. George Lupko. I'm Doug Herendeen from WRTA. And before we continue, we're discussing wheezing today. We want to talk about the Black Lung Clinic because this is something open to a good number of people who may not be aware of it.
Well, that's correct, Doug, and thanks for giving me the opportunity here. The Lung Disease Foundation of Central Pennsylvania has several grants, and one of them is from the Department of Labor, U.S. Department of Labor, and it is designed to assist patients who have co-workers' disease, black lung disease, get benefits, basically. And the way we do that is we provide a totally free evaluation of the patient. It includes a chest X-ray, which is then interpreted by a physician who has been specially trained to look for coal dust or problems in the lung that appear to be coal dust. And we also do a breathing test. And we also do a blood gas test, a blood gas analysis, with and without activity to see if your oxygen level is okay. And last but not least, we do an EKG. Now, an EKG is not necessarily a part of a lung disease evaluation, but many patients who are short of breath sometimes have heart problems. And not all heart problems can be diagnosed with an EKG, but sometimes you can see some problems there that would indicate that maybe they should look into a heart evaluation. So the Lung Disease Foundation of Central Pennsylvania has the Black Lung Clinic, and the Black Lung Clinic has a phone number, and I'm going to tell you what that is just in a second here. You can call us at area code 814. It's 800-2309. That's area code 814-800-2309. And the secretary there will take your information, we'll get you an appointment. And after you get these tests done, it's not just the tests, but then you actually have an evaluation either with myself or Dr. Michael Zlupko, my son, and we go over the tests with you. We tell you what they show, what they mean. And if you have evidence of significant black lung problems and ones that will create disability, well, then we have legal referrals, attorneys that handle those cases, and you're referred to those.
And again, if you need that number, the 814-800-2309, we would point out that there is a podcast of this program going up later this afternoon on WRTA.com, and it'll also be on the WRTA Facebook page, so you can check it there, and it'll be on the podcast page if you want some more information. The phone number, the links, also the Facebook pages and websites that you would need. We're talking about wheezing and causes of wheezing with Dr. George Lupko. And where do we pick up?
Well, we're moving our way through the tracheobronchial tree, so to speak, as to what things cause wheezing. And we were talking about those types of things that create wheezing that are inside the chest cavity, but not really involving the lung tissue itself or the small airways of the lung. And these are things that involve usually the larger airway, the trachea, which is the main airway into the lungs. And we talked about something called tracheal stenosis. We actually earlier talked about foreign body. We talked about, you know, the potato thing. Well, sometimes those potatoes are small enough to get actually into the trachea itself. And when they do, they get hung up where it bifurcates in the right and left side, and you'll get some wheezing there.
Well, but we always talk about something going down the wrong pipe. It could be water or it can be a potato.
That's right. It could be water or a potato. But in that same context, if you have that in your mind, there are certain types of benign as well as malignant tumors that can grow in that main airway. And they, when they get large enough, will also obstruct the airway and result in some wheezing. There's two other conditions, which maybe three, that I thought I'd mention in regards to the main airway there. Number one is something called tracheomalacia. Now, the word malacia usually means like, it's derived from the same word like malaise. It's a, give me the term here. I'm losing it here. Malaise is a sleepiness, a tiredness, whatnot. And tracheomalacia, and I've seen it many, many times during the years when I used to bronchoscope patients, put an examining instrument into the airway, that normally when you inhale and then exhale, the airway actually expands a little bit, okay? It expands a little bit. Now, remember that the trachea consists of rings of cartilage. Okay, so it's not just a fleshy tube like the esophagus is. We talked about that a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
It actually has some integrity to it, much like your garden hose, for example.
That's
at least
what I was thinking.
The old style garden hoses. Some of the newer ones now are kind of flimsy, but the old style garden hose where you can smush on it a little bit, but it always comes back to its
original
shape.
Yeah.
Right. Well, if you have tracheomalacia, and how do you get that? Well, generally speaking, tracheomalacia is caused by repeated insults to the airway, infections. Sometimes it's related to increased pressure in the chest cavity. I won't go into that right now. But nonetheless, when you exhale, instead of the opening kind of, the trachea kind of ballooning out a little bit, it actually slams shut. In other words, the front part and the back part.
The opposite of what you want.
Yeah. Remember, I don't know if you'd remember because maybe you didn't know in the first place, but the trachea, and I said it had cartilages, but these cartilages are like shaped like horseshoes, okay, up and down the airway.
All right.
The back part of the trachea, where the opening would be in the horseshoe, okay, is really your food tube. That's where your food tube is, okay?
Hmm.
So many times what happens is the food tube kind of invaginates into the trachea lining itself, okay, obstructing the airway.
And this, not good.
Yeah. So these things happen, and they actually happen fairly commonly. Tracheomalacia is something that we see, and we also sometimes refer to it as dynamic airway collapse, but it does happen a good bit. It happens a lot in patients who have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and it's caused in part by this increased pressure in the chest cavity due to their lung disease. So tracheomalacia, one of the other interesting things, at least I find it interesting, that may cause some wheezing. We talked about tumors that are inside the airway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this or not, but your thyroid gland, okay, your thyroid gland, which
right.
is in your neck, has its origin along the trachea, and actually you can get thyroid issues that are inside the chest cavity. Okay, there's thyroid tissue there.
No, okay. I was not aware of that.
That can actually...
They have to connect somewhere, but I wasn't aware it was that way.
Well, it can actually expand. You can get tumors. You can get enlargements of the thyroid. You can get a goiter inside your chest cavity, not just in your neck, but actually inside your chest cavity. And if you do, because the chest cavity is a rather compact spot, there's only so much room, you know,
right,
that as it expands, it can compress the trachea itself. So that's another non-pulmonary reason for having wheezing. So I think that kind of gives you an idea that there are problems in the main airway of the trachea that can result in wheezing.
The Buzz with Dr. Z, Dr. George Lupko with the Lung Disease Foundation of Central Pennsylvania. I'm Doug Herendeen. We're talking about wheezing today, and we've talked about a good number of things that can cause that. Where do we pick that up?
Well, we more or less finished up with these upper airway things, but I'd be remiss, and God knows I don't want to be remiss, if I didn't mention just one last thing that can involve the main airway, the trachea, and that's something called the right-sided aortic arch. If you understand your anatomy, okay, the aortic arch, which is the main blood vessel coming out of your heart, kind of arches over, and from it derives your carotid arteries that go up into your neck, etc., comes off to the left of your body, to your left side. But there are some anatomic variants where it comes off towards the right side. When it does, it impinges on the trachea and can narrow it, and you can get some wheezing from that. So, and you would know that just by an X-ray. You'd have to have an X-ray to do that.
Do they do anything to relocate that a little bit inside? Or
it depends a little bit on how uncomfortable you are, but you can't really change that very easily. It's
no, I would imagine
you
not.
Know, it's just one of the things you have. So let's move on in this final segment to talk about perhaps the things that most everybody wanted to talk about, and those are the things that about the lungs that can cause wheezing. And it's pretty obvious that asthma, which is a dynamic, intermittent squeezing of the airways because of a variety of reasons, mostly inflammation, certain types of inflammation. And when this happens, you develop wheezing because of what I explained at the beginning of the show. You get turbulent airflow, it exceeds Reynolds number, you get the vibration and you hear it. Well, those types of diseases can generally be treated fairly effectively with medications. We have medicines that can relax the airway, open the airway, etc., both for asthma and COPD. And so those are pretty straightforward, but there are other things involving the lungs that can create wheezing. What could they be? Well, once again, we have to think about foreign body down in the lower airways. And what would that be? How would you get one down there? Because these airways are very small. They're a couple millimeters in size. Well, if you aspirate, because most aspirate, and by aspirating, I mean liquid, usually, sometimes small food particles, but mostly liquid, will go down from your GI tract, your esophagus.
Again, the wrong pipe thing.
Go down into your lower, go down into your airway. And because they're small molecules, I mean, it's liquid, right? It just flows down into the lower airways of your lung and obstructs them and you get some wheezing. And this is pretty common. We have patients who will say that they wheeze at night when they're laying down and they cough and whatnot. And oftentimes they're wheezing. It occurs a little bit more often on a chronic basis in elderly patients who oftentimes will aspirate very frequently with every meal or certainly when laying down. And then, of course, it happens on an emergent basis too.
Yeah.
Patients may vomit and whatnot and then aspirate. So aspiration can do it. One of the other things that's fairly common that we see, usually in an emergent circumstance, is pulmonary embolism. And this is where a blood clot, usually from the leg, but not always, sometimes it's from the heart, but usually from the legs, will impact the lungs themselves. It'll lodge in the blood vessels of the lungs. You know, the way blood flows is it comes up from your legs, goes through the right side of the heart, goes through the lungs, through the blood vessels of the lungs, and then to the left side, then out to the rest of the body again. It gets oxygenated out to the rest of the body again. Well, if there's clots, they won't get through the lungs. The lung acts as a kind of a sieve, actually. It is designed, one of the functions of the lung, actually, is to remove small clots from impacting other areas on the arterial side.
Well, by small clots, you mean something that's usually
millimeters in size, small.
So small, you don't think it had anything out of the ordinary.
Right. You don't even, you wouldn't notice that it was doing that. But if you have a larger one or several larger ones that impact the lung itself, then there's a mechanism of inflammation and hemodynamics that sets up, and you can develop some wheezing with that. A lot of times the wheezing will occur where the clot is. So if you have it just on the left or the right, you may hear the wheezing over that one particular area. That's not the diagnostic test, but it's something that you may find on physical examination. A condition that we see in children, cystic fibrosis, okay, which is a genetic disease. Won't go into it. It can be complicated. The fortunate thing is many patients with cystic fibrosis who otherwise would not have survived their childhood now often survive into adulthood, and because of a variety of therapies, antibiotic therapy, etc. So cystic fibrosis. Another thing that we see fairly commonly is something called bronchiectasis. And actually, there's some new medications on the market now to help us with that. Here's what bronchiectasis is. Remember I told you that the airways have a certain amount of integrity. They can be smushed a little bit, but they come right back.
They have a certain amount of give and no more.
That's exactly it. Well, airways that have been infected frequent enough. And sometimes, but by frequent enough, it might maybe just a serious pneumonia or maybe one or two serious lung infections. Those airways, particularly the airways that are further out, get damaged. They no longer maintain their integrity. They become flabby, if you will. And those airways end up being a problem because they're just a nidus for infection. They don't clear well. Mucus isn't extracted from them really well in the normal fashion. And so bronchiectasis leads to patients having symptoms of cough and more mucus production. Sometimes it's related to their position. And once the airways are damaged in that way, there's really no medicine to make them better. The treatment is usually treating chronic infection. There are some medications that now can help with the inflammation. And then there's mechanical things like these vibrating vests and whatnot that we have that we can use in patients to help clear the secretions. And that's really the treatment plan there.
I'm just wondering, the vibrating vest, is that sort of like if you're not slamming, but hitting somebody in the back if something is in their throat or something like that?
Yeah.
It's doing the same function, but very slowly.
Right. Before we had these mechanical devices, there was a treatment called cupping, and it meant you just made your hands look like little cups.
Yeah.
Okay? And you just went and pounded on the patient. But what you did was, if you knew, for example, that their problem was in the right side of the chest, then you would lay them down on their left side, cup them on the right side to try to beat, if you will, vibrate the mucus out of the airways to the center portion of the tracheobronchial tree, which is sensitive to touch, and they would cough it out. Okay, so it's just a mechanical way of moving the mucus along.
And probably safer than doing the cupping.
Well,
because you're sitting, or you know,
yeah,
instead of spending the time doing that, you've got the vest on them and it's going to eventually work its way to where it can come out.
Yeah, it's like a lot of things, Doug. Not just in medicine, but we don't want to expend the energy, you know, beating on somebody.
Yeah.
It's much easier to throw this vest on them, turn it on, and let it vibrate away. And actually, it does a very good job. I don't want to say it doesn't do a good job. Probably it does a better job than cupping itself, because you're able to do this to the whole chest itself and not rely just
higher
on
tech, more efficient.
Yeah, basically yeah. Basically that's it.
Okay, we have about 3 minutes. So, what else can we?
Well, let me just talk to you about one other thing, and this has to do with a certain type of tumor that can occur in the lungs itself. It's called a carcinoid tumor. Mm. It's an unusual tumor because it has the same characteristics as the same kind of tumor does in the GI tract. And you think, wow, that's interesting. Did you say that? I didn't hear anybody say that, but I'm sure there's somebody saying, wow, that's interesting. And the reason is because your lungs, believe it or not, develop from the same embryologic tissue as your GI tract. And so many of the tumors that we see in the lungs are similar to the tumors that we see in the GI tract. Adenocarcinoma, for example, same kind of tumor in the lungs and in the GI tract. There are some markers that say it's lung as opposed to GI tract, but you wouldn't necessarily notice them if you didn't have those special studies done. So I hope that this has been an interesting discussion for you and for the rest of the audience. Just to let you know, and wrap up here, wheezing is a significant symptom, but it can be caused by a lot of things. And you don't want to just say, well, I smoke and I have this wheezing. No, no. You may have other things. Or I think I have asthma. Well, you may have other things. So if you're having a symptom of wheezing, it's a common symptom, come on in and see us. We'll be glad to take a look at it, help you out where we can.
I think some people probably resign themselves, well, I'm just getting older or I've had whatever problems, so of course I'm going to wheeze a bit. It's something I'm stuck with the rest of my life. Oh, well.
Well,
they shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I hear the statement, well, you have to die of something, but yes, but you don't have to die of this. That's the point. And there are some conditions here that have medications. There are some conditions here that have very good treatments, tumor removals, things like that. Some plastic procedures that can be done to your vocal cords, et cetera, if you're having those kind of troubles.
Okay, and just a reminder about the Black Lung Clinic.
Absolutely. The Black Lung Clinic, if you're a minor, had been a minor, please call us 814-800-2309, and we'll be glad to provide you with a very free evaluation.
All right, Dr. George Lupko, it's The Buzz with Dr. Z, and it's sponsored, supported by the Lung Disease Foundation of Central Pennsylvania. There'll be a podcast of this program up at WRTA.com. A little bit later this afternoon, you can find links to everything we talked about, information about the Black Lung Clinic as well. And the next time we're going to be on, since we're on the third Tuesday of each month, is going to be on Tuesday, April 21st. So we'll talk to you then. Dr. Lupko, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Take care, Doug.